Welcome to Exploration 1, Lecture 8. Just give me 5 seconds. You're talking to David, Ian? He may want to get on in about 5 minutes or so. We're starting, but yeah, whatever. No, he won't. Oh, sorry, can we shift down to lecture theatre, guys? Sorry, I keep forgetting to do that. Okay, here we are. All right. Now, the first thing I want to start off with before we start working through various exercises is, are there general questions about subnetting, binary conversion, any of that fun stuff? Has anybody got... Where do people think they're struggling in their understanding? And feel free to feed your name into chat in case we have a war for who's struggling for understanding. And if anybody has any suggestions on how I can deliver this material better, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. So that's up to you guys, but hopefully I've imparted something. He's had network issues this morning. Righto. I usually do. So yeah, has anybody got any questions that they might have on subnetting generally, or do I start covering things general and hope that the dominoes fall into place? Okay, John.
In the subnetting hints file that you had posted, there was a note about subnetting. I think it was 172.16.0.0. Don't remember the mask, if it was /16, and you said there was two subnets that couldn't be used, and that was all zeros on the for the host portion, or all 255, and I wasn't quite sure what where that came from.
I'll just find out from my theoretically more knowledgeable boss. Hang on a second.
I know which
labs can down. The 0 and 255 subnet stuff that Cisco never used to have you use, they've dropped that, haven't they? You use all of them now, don't you?
Not 255, but the
0. No, I know that, but that's the default in iOS 11.3 and up. They still use 255, though, don't they?
No, it's always a broadcast.
Hang on a sec, I'll just put these headphones in. Now, what I'm saying is, if you have, like, 192.168.
Now look what you've done, John. You've sent him away.
Yeah, you never really covered it, and I was kind of curious to why.
Now we know why.
I think I know what you're saying. I read something about Cisco allowing you to use subnet 0 now. I don't exactly understand it, but I did read something about that.
Okay, sorry, guys. Interesting question. You probably hear mumbles in the background, which is pretty standard for this place. There's a question where it's saying you can't use the bottom subnet and you can't use the top subnet in a subnet situation. So technically, I'll type some things into chat. Is everyone in chat, by the way? Yeah. Thank you. Did it work? Oh, good. All right. So what they're saying is that if you are subnetting a range... say for example 192, sorry, I'll get back to your example in a second, John. 168.1.0/24. Now just in case you guys want it, so that's mask 255.255.255.0. So say for example we're borrowing one bit and we're gonna split that in half. So we're going to split it into 192.168.1.0/25, which is 255.255.255.128. Okay, before I continue, can anybody tell me what the range of the first subnet, if we were to split that 192.168.1 subnet in half, would be, or even how to possibly go about working it out if you didn't know? Or would we need to go through that? Because I'm happy to do that as well.
Is it 0 to 127?
That is correct. Anybody else understand
Working
why he
out,
said that?
I'm not so that? Sure.
Oh, okay, all right. Anybody else know why he said 0 to 127 and how you'd work that out?
I understand why it's 0 to 127 because we split it in half, but I'd like to know how to work it out because, yeah, I'm not totally clear on that.
Would anybody else be unhappy if I went through that? Because I'm quite happy to go through that because there is actually a procedure you can go through that works all the time. So everybody cool with that?
Yeah, sounds good. Please. I'm not super great at it yet either.
All right. Let's go through and work it out. All right. I think I said in the subnetting document. Okay. So we're all convinced that with a class C subnet, we have 24 bits of network address and 8 bits of host address. And the 255.255.255.0 subnet mask or the /24 says we have 3 bytes or 24 bits of network address. Sorry, this is requiring me to think. And 8 bits of, which is always a bad thing, 8 bits of host section. So everybody cool with that definition of a class C?
Yes.
All right, so what we're going to end up with is 1234567.8.1234567.8.1234567.8.1234567.8. You might have to use the review cursor for that. I apologize to anybody who's got their speech set at a slow rate. So you can see that there are 24 network bits and 8 host bits. Everybody cool with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're all clear that with the host bits, if all of the host bits are set to 0, we have... we have the network address, and if all of the host bits are set to 1, we have the broadcast address. Everybody cool with that?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, now, we're going to put a wrinkle in. So, what happens when you're subnetting is that you borrow bits from the host portion? Yes, you do. You borrow bits from the host portion to be able to split the host into... split the network into more subnets, okay? So say, for example, you've been handed out the address of 192.168.1.0. Now, you wouldn't be, but let's just pretend that you were because you are, okay? And you need to split that up among a couple of organizations, or you're subnetting that up amount amongst a number of organizations. What you're doing is you're splitting up the pie, and it's an apple pie, and it's got like a sugary top and crispy pastry, just to keep my food reputation intact here. And it's just all crispy and yummy. Anyway, you're splitting this pie up into half the pie for the administrative division and half the pie for the students. Now, to do that, you actually have to borrow bits from the host portion. So what you end up with is you end up with nnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnnn So what you've got is you've got 24 network bits, a borrowed bit, and I was sort of deciding whether I was going to call it a borrowed bit or a subnetting bit, and 7 host bits. Now, okay, let's pause. Is everybody with me so far? I'm guessing not, which is okay.
I'm mostly with you, but I guess my pause was I'm wanting to know if I understand. I understand the two sides of the address. I understand borrowing the bit, but maybe the quantity is what's giving me pause. How did we decide that it was which bit it was and that it was one?
No, I never said the bit was one. I said I was borrowing one bit. Okay, no, that's fine. That's good. That's worth mentioning. Okay, so we've agreed that the because this all makes perfect sense to me, and I'm just trying to figure out how to actually explain it so that it makes perfect sense to everybody else. So basically what you've got is you've got bits that are part of the networking portion of address, and you've got bits that are part of the host portion of the address. And we started by saying that we had 24 bits for the network and 8 bits for the host. But because we wanted to break it into more subnets, we decided to split the we decided to borrow one of the bits from the networking portion because we wanted to make two subnets. So what's the, if we want two combinations, does it follow that you can do it with one bit because the bit can either be set to a 0 or a 1?
Yes, of course, and I guess I was stuck on the fact of that it was the most significant bit that we used from the host
portion. I'm lucky. When did you start recording, Corey? Because I'm going to need your recording. I've just started.
Back before when we were just yattering. I'll give it to you after.
Luckily. Okay. I fail. All right. Okay, so the point we've got is that if you've got one bit, it can be set to two values. It can either be set to 0 or it can be set to 1. So we've got 24 network bits, a subnetting bit, and we've got a host bit. Now the fact is that if we look at the last octet of the IP address 192.168.1.blah, if we set the most significant bit of that octet to 0 and all of the rest of the bits to 0, what do we have if all of the 8 bits are set to 0? This is not a trick question. Yeah, everybody happy that we get 0?
Yeah.
So if we set all of the bits, so we set the most significant bit to 0 and the rest of the bits to 1, so we've got 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, what would we get? I'm happy to wait around while people work that out, which you can do with a calculator, which is 64 plus 32 plus 16 plus 8 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1. Yes, 127. Everybody else happy with that or not? Do we need a little bit more time for people to work through that?
No, I'm good with.
So you can see that Chris was correct by going, well, it's 0 to 127. And that is the first subnet of that range. Now, that was with the subnet bit set to 0. Now, if we toggle that subnet bit to be set to 1, we set the subnet bit to 1, the most significant bit of that octet to 1, and then we set the other 7 bits to 0. What do we get if we do that? So 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.
128.
That is correct, and that is the start of our second subnet. Now, if we set the most significant bit to 1 and the rest of the bits to 1, what do we get?
255.
Yep, everybody else agree with that? Has everybody seen that one before? It's one of the ones you sort of see all ones and go, yeah, that's 255. All right, so what you're actually seeing here is that you have network bits, you have host bits, and then you have subnetting bits. And the combination of the subnetting bits is what defines which subnet you're actually working with. So let's work another example. And I realize this is long and tedious, but hey, we might, something might actually drop into place here. Does anybody have any questions before I continue? Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I've seen the term supernet and subnet and network. Can you explain that?
Okie dokie. A supernet is the space of IP addresses that the subnets are taken from. So, in this particular example, we have a supernet of 192.168.1.0/24, and we have two subnets, 192.168.1.0/25 and 192.168.1.128/25. They are the subnets of the 192.168.1 supernet.
Okay.
Alrighty. Alright, so let's work another example here. And hopefully this will make sense a bit more. So, the point of subnetting is to splice up the networks into the right sized chunks for what we want to do with them. So, let's say we have our 192.168.1.0/24 subnet, just because it's easy to work with. And we then use that for... we've got an organization where we have, just to keep it simple, 120, staff and two classrooms of 60 students, okay? So everybody cool with that? One lot of 120 of one other thing and then two lots of 60 for two other things. If we were to add those up, 120, 120, and just make sure I'm making the right stuff up. Two lots of 60. So you've got one lot of 120 and two lots of 60. Is that what I said? Because I'm losing track.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, good. Okay, so if you add 120 and two lots of 60, can anybody give me an idea of what you actually get?
It's 240.
Okay. Yeah, 240. Everybody happy with that? I don't think that's really arguable about. So what we need is a subnet that is big enough to hold 240 addresses for our subnetting exercise that we're about to do. So can anybody tell me what is the next power of 2 above 240?
256.
I'd agree with that. And
the actual power.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, 2 to the power. Doesn't matter what's 2 to the... Well, okay, it's 256, which is 2 to the power of what?
8.
It is 8. It's 8. That is 8, 2 to the power of 8. It's okay, I heard you. You don't have to confuse her. I'll explain to you later, Grace. It's alright, cool. Alright, have fun in Melbourne. Friday night he comes back. Our boss is off to Melbourne. Can you guys see that if it's 2 to the power of 8, we need 8 bits worth of stuff to be able to hold this network. So a class C is 8 bits, which is why we're using 192.168.1.0/24. Alright, so let's look at this example. Now, if we have a group of 120 people and we need to stick them on a subnet, what is the power of 2 above 120 that we'll be able to hold that? Someone other than Chris. Sorry. Yep. Which is 2 to the power of what? Anybody?
7.
Anybody else disagree with Matthew? Alrighty. So, if we look at what we want to do with this 192.168.1.0 subnet, we've got a group of 120 people and we've got two groups of 60 people. Does it make sense that we need to split the supernet in half so that one half can hold the group of 120 and then we need to split the other subnet in half again so that it contain the two groups of 60? Am I making any sense?
In theory that makes sense. I have no idea how you do it, but it makes sense that you would have to do that.
Alright, that's okay. Well, we're going to work through it. So, remember earlier how we said that if we had 192.168.1.0 and we borrowed one of the bits for subnetting, We would then basically say, okay, 192.168.1, they're our SuperNet bits, we leave those alone. We set the first most significant bit to 0 for our first subnet, and then we set all of the remaining bits to 0 to get the network address and to 1 to get the broadcast address. So we end up with 192.168.1.0/24 is your SuperNet. We end up with the first subnet 192.168.1.0 to 192.168.1.127. So what we've said is that the first three bytes are network bytes, we leave them alone. The first bit is a subnet bit that we set to 0 because we're working with the first subnet, because it can either be set to a 0 or a 1. And then we're setting the last 7 bits to 0 for the network address, and the last 7 bits to 1 to get the broadcast address. Alright, so that's half of the subnetting space allocated, and we'll pretend that that's been allocated to the group of people that want the 120 addresses. Now the second subnet is going to be 192.168.1.128 to 192.168.1.255. Okay, can we see that this subnet is another address of 127 addresses? And if you don't believe me, you can go 255 minus 128 on a calculator, and it will give you 127, I hope. It does. Yeah, see, and all the numbers have to add up, otherwise it doesn't work. Okay, so with this one, we have to split it in half again, because we have two ranges that we need. Now, we agreed that if we wanted to use 60 addresses per subnet, we agreed that we'd need 64 addresses, and that would be 2 to the power of 6. Actually, we may not have agreed that, but does that make sense to anyone? So, what we do is we say 128 is the bottom of our second subnet, and we say we want 64 addresses. Well, 0 to 63, because you actually count the address you start on, so we say 128 plus 63, which is the number of addresses we can have, 0 to 63, will give us 191. We then know that the next subnet starts at 192, because the subnets start adjacent to each other, and we know that if we go 192 plus 63, we get to 255. Now, do I need to slow down or elaborate on anything so far?
If you wanted to refer to the 128 to 191 subnet, how would you refer to that subnet?
Okay, that would be 192.168.1. I'm typing this in the chat as we go, just so people can look at it. 128/255.255.255.192.
Okay.
So what we're seeing there is we're seeing 26 bits worth of network address, which is your 255.255.255. And then you're seeing 192, which is 11 and 6 zeros, in case you need to convert that out. And the 6 zeros is where your host bits could go. So the range is 6 zeros to 6 ones, and 6 ones happens to be 63. I just happen to know that. So basically, if I wanted to boil subnetting down into something that is fairly simplistic, what you need to do is figure out how big your SuperNet is, find out what addresses you've got available on your SuperNet, find the largest allocations that you need to make, make those allocations somewhere in that address space, but make sure that they are on an address that is divisible by the size of the largest allocation. So if we're going to allocate a 64 address subnet, and we're including the network and broadcast addresses here, we need to allocate it on something that is divisible by 64. So if we were looking at the 192.168.1.0 subnet, the only places that we could allocate the 64 address subnet would be 0, 64, 192, I was out by 192. So 0, 64, 128, and 192 would be the four places we could allocate a 64 address subnet. But the problem with our allocation is that we have an address range that needs to be 128 in size. So can anybody tell me on which numbers we could allocate that 128 address if we had to allocate it? The 128 address subnet size.
I think I lost you.
It has to go at 0 or at 128.
That is correct. And do you have any hope of being able to explain that to Jason, potentially? And if you can't, I'll help you out, obviously.
Because you told us that the allocation blocks, they need to be contiguous. So we have to... We only have two choices with that spacing and those lots of numbers.
Okay. Does that make any sense to you, Jason, or do I need to talk some more? I'm just curious, are people taking notes as I talk about this stuff? Because it's all in my head, but I'm assuming it's not all in yours. So how are people managing their note-taking and stuff on this?
Bouncing between Ventrilo chat and a lovely text file of my own notes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing as well. My question, so I get that with the 0 to 127, where I sort of got a bit lost was, I understand how we got from 0, the first 120 subnet, by setting the first bit to 1, or, well, to 0, and then the rest of the bits. But I guess where I lost you is where we did the other two. So would you have two different subnet masks then on this for that IP address range?
Okay, now this is probably worth mentioning. Okay, so what you actually have, and this is probably worth typing into the chat, and if we have a better way of doing this, I haven't actually figured out whether we fire up an IRC server or something to do this better, because it might be better on IRC than it would be in Ventrilo chat, but we'll see how we go. So basically what you end up with is, if you go from 0 to 127, okay, so the router that is routing into Dodgycom Proprietary Limited, which happens to be this organization, it has a connection to the internet, and we don't care what that is. It's some sort of ADSL link or whatever. And then when stuff gets into the organization, this router has three Ethernet interfaces on it, okay, that are inside the organization. The first Ethernet interface, which I should call Ethernet 0, has 19... Oop, I can't type there. Go to the bit where I can type. 192.168... In fact, I'll even give you the configuration for these. 1.1/255.255.255.128. That is the configuration on Ethernet 0. 192, because keep in mind that for a router to be able to talk on a network, it must have a valid IP address on that network. Note the underlines and italics and capital letters. So what that router then has is it has this in its routing table. It has 192.168.1.0/255.255.255.128 route to Ethernet 0. Does anybody remember last week, I think it was, we were doing route print and you were looking at those routing tables?
Yes.
Okay, so that's Ethernet 0. Now, let's say, for example, we're looking at the configuration of Ethernet 1 on this router. So Ethernet 1 on this router will have 192.168.1.129, we'll just give it an IP address, /255.255.255.192. It's kind of funny because I keep wanting to write the subnet addresses out as like /26 and /25, and I have to keep remembering, write the subnet out. So it has a route of 192.168.1.128/255.255.255.192.2 Ethernet 2. I botched. That should have been Ethernet 1. Okay, so I failed there. That's to Ethernet 1. So you've got 192.168.1.0/255.255.255.128 to Ethernet 0. And you have 192.168.1.128/255.255.255.192 to Ethernet 1. And the final route we have is 192.168.1.192/255.255.255.0 to Ethernet 2. Router IP 192.168.1.193.
Wait, what was the subnet mask on that last one?
255.255.255.192. I hope.
Because we had 128 on the first one, 192 on the second one. What was on the third one?
No. We had okay, yeah, and 192 on the third one. So the subnet mask, see, this is why I like to write them out as slash whatevers rather than 192. You have the first one has 255.255.255.128, which is /25. The second has 255.255.255.192, which is /26. And the third one has 255.255.255.192. Which is /26 again. So we have 2/25s and a 26.
Wait, you mean 2/26s and a 25, right?
Yeah, that's right. 2/26s and a 25. I said it the wrong way around, I bet.
So do the subnet bits always have to be set to 1? Or can they be, like, would you ever see one that was like 0/1 or 1/0?
Okay. Now, perhaps this is where it gets a bit confusing. The subnetting bits that you're actually borrowing from the host portion can be set, depending on how many bits you have, can be set to anything you want. Now, if I have 2 subnet bits, which I do in this particular instance, how many raw combinations can I have out of those 2 binary bits?
6, right?
No, that's okay.
4.
Yep, we have 4. So I'm going to put these in. We have 0, 0. Oh, because I can't type there. See, they are the binary combinations we can have with those 2 bits. So we can have 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, and 1, 1. They are the 4 combinations we can have. So is everybody kind of cool with that?
Yeah.
Now the wrinkle comes in because if we have subnets of 64 addresses, we can use all 4 of those combinations. At one case, the subnet bits will be set to 0/0. At another, they'll be set to 0/1. At another, they'll be set to 1/0, and at another, they'll be set to 1/1. But if we have a subnet that is 128 in size, it takes up two of those four combinations. So, if we have the 128 at the bottom of the subnet, it takes up the combinations 00 and 01. And then we've got the combinations of 10 and 11 to use for our last two remaining subnets. Or you can put the 128 subnet on 10 and 11 and it will take up both of those combinations, because it doesn't actually see when you slice it into a bigger subnet, it only uses one of the bits to actually identify which subnet it is. I think people are going to have to write stuff out in Notepad and look how it works out, because I can see it in my head, but I'm having trouble explaining.
Yeah, that's the part I'm having trouble with. Yeah, I'll need to look at that.
Yeah, I think we're going to have another enhancement, you know, another subnetting hints. We're going to extend the subnetting hints document to try and include this. But basically what happens is the subnet mask tells you how many bits you've got for the network portion and how many bits you've got for the host portion. When you are slicing up a subnet into smaller subnets, you are deciding, again, how many bits are for the network portion and how many bits are for the host portion. And when you decide that, it blocks out a series of addresses depending on what you've decided, because what the subnet mask is... Has anybody ever seen those wooden... I mean, they're going back a while now, but has anyone seen those wooden dividers you put down between your groceries and the next person's groceries at the supermarket on the checkout?
Yeah.
Okay, so the subnet mask basically... If we assume that the checkout counter is of a limited size, where you place the divider will say how much is your groceries and how much is the person in front of you. And depending on how far back towards you the divider is slid means that you don't have a lot of space on your side of the divider for your groceries, because the person who is in front of you has got all their groceries stacked up. Which is a silly analogy, but it shows that the divider shows how much space you've got for you and someone else, or for one subnet and another subnet. And the thing to remember about the subnet mask is that it is a divider. It shows where the networks are split up, where the network boundaries are, and depending on what that mask is, it shows you how big the divisions are. Does anybody remember playing with Quies and air rods? I'm not sure what you guys would have called them. There was a wooden blocks, and there was like a rod that was 10 long, and there was a rod that was 5 long, and there were rods that were 1 long, and you could put like the 10 rod, and you, next to the 10 rod you could put 10 ones or 2 fives or 5 twos and all that sort of stuff. Does anybody remember those, or is this an Australian thing?
Tinker toys.
Maybe. They were used in like teaching mathematics and stuff.
Different lengths of sticks connected by bits of wood with holes in them.
Some of them might have been. The ones we had were just like square bits of wood that you just sort of sit on a flat surface and slide around, but they could quite possibly be connected by sticks if you had like a deluxe version. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you think of those Tinker Toys and those sized rods and stuff, whatever you're subnetting must add up to the size of your supernet if you're going to break up the supernet. So the point is, if you've got a supernet of 128 addresses, you can only subnet to a maximum of 128 addresses. So whatever you're going to subnet to needs to always add back up to that 128. So you can have two networks of 64, four networks of 32, 8 networks of 16, 16 networks of 8, 32 networks of 4. Yeah, Lego blocks is another way to think of it as well. How they line up and how much you've actually got left. But see, the thing with subnetting is whenever you subnet something up, there are two addresses in the subnet that are unusable. So if we look at a subnet of 128 addresses, how many addresses are usable?
126.
Everybody happy with 126?
Yeah, Carrie, I wanted to just ask a quick question, though. So you say you would have, you know, two networks or four networks. Do they have to be equal? Because when we did our example there, we did a 120 and then 264s. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, do they have to be equal sizes or not?
No, they don't. And this is what we call variable length subnet masking. And this is the advanced side of subnetting, where we're sort of doing the advanced bit. But the thing you've got to understand is that if they're not the same size, so say for example we've got a network of 128 and a network of two networks of 64, you must start the 128 network on a number that is divisible by 128, and then you've got to start the 64s on a number by divisible by 64. So, for example, you can't have 0 to 63, 64 to 191, and 192 to 255 because you've split the 128 network across something that isn't a 128 boundary. The fact is that a subnet mask sets the division marker of how many bits a network and how many bits of host, and it does it at one place in the binary number. It says this bits are network and this bits are host, and I don't really care what the bits are, but this is where the divider line is. So if I want a network with 128 addresses, I need to set the dividing line at 255.255.255.128.
Okay.
Is anybody any clearer on this, or am I just making people even more confused?
I'm clear on the equal division. It's just when you get into the variable length stuff is where I'm a bit lost, but I'm sure it'll come eventually.
One of my students used to fire up a copy of Excel and put the binary into, like, spreadsheet cells and put it into Excel and line them all up and look at it that way. I'm not sure what the best way to do that or do it with a Braille display or whatever it is. But the point that I'm trying to make is that your largest subnet needs to be on a boundary that is divisible by the size of your local subnet. Does anybody remember when I told you guys that the number of hosts you could have on a subnet was 2 to the power of h minus 2, which was 2 to the power of h, where host is the number of host bits?
Yes.
So if we say that we have 7 host bits, which is what we said earlier, 2 to the power of 7 is 128 minus 2 is 126 usable addresses?
Right.
Okay, so how many usable addresses would we have if we only had 4 host bits?
14?
We have 14. Anybody else want to know how we got to 14? If we have 4 host bits, it's 2 to the power of 4 is 16, minus 2 is 14. Quick poll, who's got access to Braille displays?
I have a PacMate 20 cell. Not quite sure how well it works with this yet. I haven't tried it, but I should.
I've got a Focus 40.
Yep, I've got a Focus 42. I like them, they're good. I was playing with diagnostic mode on it the other day. Anyone else got access to Braille?
Yes, I have a Braille Note Apex.
Okay. Look, you guys can all call me crazy, but I would strongly recommend that you guys hook these up to your computer and get your screen reader of choice working with the braille display so that you can see this stuff under your fingers, so that you've got notepad and you've got a braille display. For those of you who don't have a braille display, you will need to do it with speech, which is somewhat harder, and you want to avail yourself of the JAWS notepad scripts that only read one character when you go up and down by lines in notepad. Now, to get the BrailleLite 2000 working with JAWS, you need a serial cable to DIN cable, which are available from a lot of electronic stores. Maybe you've got one. I know we've got some. That doesn't help you. I have no idea whether WindowEyes has any support for the PacMate displays, but I'd be surprised if it didn't.
It does. I've hooked it up and I see it works. I just have to figure out what all the little routing buttons and stuff do and all that.
I've never seen a PacMate in my life, so I'm sorry, I can't help there. Figuring out what all the little routing buttons and stuff do, which... Oh, well, I've got an, oh, God, read the manual from Grace, which is not very useful.
Honestly, with just
the hotkey reference in the hotkey manager or something.
With the PacMate display, I mean, for what we're doing here, you don't really even need the routing buttons.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Curse around on the keyboard and then read the display.
Okay.
It's probably also worth mentioning here that... As far as I remember, because I'm assuming that not everybody's got JAWS, WindowEyes has really good braille support. If you don't have WindowEyes, NVDA will support the focus displays and the Brailliant displays, and if you install BRLTTY, it will support a lot of other displays, and I don't know whether the PacMate is on that list, but BRLTTY will drive a lot of those displays quite nicely, and then you just tell NVDA to use BRLTTY and you've got Braille at your fingertips, so to speak. Okay, so I think what we're going to have to do is I'm going to try and flesh out the subnetting document, the hints on subnetting, try and put some of the stuff I've talked about in here so that I've written it down, because I think people are going to find it a lot easier on electronic document than me explaining it to them. And maybe once I've got it written down, you guys can start have a look at some of those subnetting exercises like the Busy Builders one and make a bit of sense out of it. But the key... Okay, but the point I was trying to make, which I'll just finish making because it's important, the smaller the subnets, the more addresses you lose. So if you've got one subnet of 128 addresses, two are unusable. If you've got a subnet of 64, two are unusable. If you've got a subnet of 32, two are unusable, okay? So if you have a subnet of 128, two addresses are unusable. If you have two subnets of 64, there are two unusable addresses in each subnet. So does it follow that the smaller the subnets you break it into, the more address wastage you have because there are two unusable addresses for each subnet?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd recommend people doing, and it depends on how many people have got a virtual machine image and are willing to use them, is get the virtual machine up and running and then configure your network card. Even if you bridge it, don't let it assign the address automatically, but assign it dynamically and then mess with the subnet mask and see which addresses you can actually ping as a result of changing the subnet mask. So if you have an IP address of 192.168.1.1, oops. So if you have 192.168.1.1 and you have a subnet mask of 255.255.255.0, does it follow that you can get anywhere from addresses 1 to 254, because that's how big your subnet mask will let you get to? 0 and 255 are obviously the broadcast and network address? Not in that order.
That makes sense.
But if you have 192.168.1.1 mask 255.255.255.128, you can only get from 0 to 127 with that mask, or 1 to 126 as far as the IP addresses are concerned. I think this is where where people are having trouble with their understanding. The fact that this subnet mask actually limits which addresses you can get to because of how it slices it off into host and network portion bits. If we have a subnet mask of 255, 255, 255, 128, or slash 25, we only have 7 bits in our host portion, which means that the combinations we can have are 0000000, which is your network address, all the way up to 1111111, which is your broadcast address. Anything outside that will be considered on a different subnet.
Okay, so if you set your IP address as 129, and then you set your subnet mask to 255.255.255.128, then you'd be able to get from 129 to 254, is that right?
That is correct. And not that I particularly care in this instance, but you may want to turn on session mute when you're in lecture. Not that it matters. We actually had somebody reading their sports scores when they were in lecture one day. And they had an audio malfunction, and we got to hear who won the baseball game. So you can get from 128 to 254. That's exactly correct. Does everybody understand how that works?
Yeah, I think I've got it.
All right, I'm going to enhance that subnetting document that's up there and put some of this stuff in there so that it's actually written out, because I think people are having trouble caching the things that I'm saying, which is completely understandable. And I'll announce for you guys to read through that document, and then we'll come up with any questions and stuff that may arise from that and see how people's understanding goes from there. Because it's difficult to hold this stuff in your head if you haven't been doing it as long as I have. I saw somebody on Twitter say the other day that, you know, whilst you're doing the certifications, do the subnets in your head and then you'll use a calculator if you're in real life. I'd agree with that to a point. But like any sort of mathematics and use of calculators, you've got to be able to estimate roughly what your results are going to be before you actually run the calculations, so that if the calculations come out wrong, you'll be able to spot any errors that would be glaringly wrong. Now, does this work under Windows? Let me see. Okay, quiz question. What happens if you ping the broadcast of a network by default?
Every host on the network should answer. Well, depending how it's configured, but that should be what happens.
Yep, everybody else agree with that?
Yes.
I have just tried this under Windows, and it does indeed work. If you... We're on 192.168.100 here. If you ping 192.168.100.255, all of the machines on the network that respond to pings will actually reply. And the interesting thing with this is that if you've got IP addresses scattered all over your network, depending on what your subnet mask is set to, if you narrow down the subnet mask on your virtual machine, you will actually see that different sets of machines reply based on what your subnet mask is, because if you narrow down the subnet mask on your virtual machine, you won't be able to ping the broadcast address of your network because you will be outside the range to be able to do that, because you can't ping outside the range of your subnet mask. I might actually try and draft up an exercise where you guys mess with subnet masks and see what actually happens as you change them and stuff, maybe on the remote bundle, because it might actually improve understanding of how this stuff functions.
If it helps, Kerry, you have some of that written already from one of the earlier labs where we you know, we set the interface, we put an IP address on two of the workstations to learn ping back and forth, so you could probably use that and enhance it for the submask.
Absolutely, and I think I will certainly do that. I do remember writing up some of that, so I'll lift that out and draft up an extra lab that will actually show how these things function and how they actually work. Are there any other queries or questions I can deal with today before I stop recording? Because I think I've done a pretty good job of giving everybody lots to think about.